This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. It is finally game week. Today we touch up on our special teams preview. We dive deep into Indiana's season opener against Penn State, which is happening at 3:30 on Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. The game will be shown on Fox Sports 1. You can listen on the radio as well with Don Fisher and Buck Sewer and Joe Smith on the call on your IU radio affiliates around the state of Indiana and wherever you listen to your radio on the internet around the country. So before we get into that, we have a few words from our buddies over at Bet Online. So it has been a crazy, crazy wait, but the wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect. The Big Ten is back with many teams strutting their stuff, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. World Series starts tomorrow night. You might not be at a game this year, but you could still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Finally here, TJ, let's dive into special teams a little bit. It's an area that when it's going well, nobody really cares. Or when it's going okay, nobody really cares. When it's going well, people are hooting and hollering about it. But when it goes wrong, nobody could shut up about it. And last year for IU, they weren't great on special teams. Kickoff return wasn't great, but the glaring errors at the end of the season, you could go back to the Penn State game, you could go to Purdue, and of course you could circle the bowl game as those areas of concern. In the Penn State game, you had Wop Fillier misplay a punt. Now it's very debatable whether or not he touched it, but he shouldn't be near that ball. Anyway, you had the fake punt that was audibled out of, but maybe a communication error. And then you had Purdue, you had Logan Justice miss three field goals, and you had to go to Charles Campbell, who we'll talk about here in a little bit. And then, of course, the onside kick in the bowl game, which a guy was out of position for. You could debate whether or not you wanted the hands teams on there, but if you have the hands teams on there with the fair catch rule, it's really no risk to be prepared for that onside kick, even though it wasn't as obvious as everybody says it was. There were like 5 minutes left. You had Tennessee had, I think, all three of their timeouts, so they could have kicked it deep, but it wasn't 100%, oh, my God, it's going to be an onside kick. But still, you probably should have run the hands team out there, and he definitely should have had the guy in position right where they kicked it in that vacated hole and recovered it. And then you also had a missed field goal, albeit a long one, and a doinked extra point, which was the margin of victory as well. So there's a lot to clean up on special teams. IU hasn't had a kickoff return for a touchdown since 2012. Punt return last year was dreadful after a couple of really good years with Jayshon Harris back at punt return. What is your overview on special teams? And sorry for dragging everybody back through all those nightmarish memories of special teams gaffes in the last couple of years.
I think special teams, you mentioned it, you know, right at the start there. I think it's very true. it's a phase that when it doesn't go well, it costs you football games, particularly against teams that are good enough to take advantage of it, which Penn State, you know, to start off, just for one, Penn State certainly is good enough to take advantage of it and has before. Indiana's had special teams problems against the Nittany Lions several times over the past few years. I think this year's special teams unit, you know, the parts that you can look at right away would be punter and kicker, and you feel pretty good about them. You know, obviously getting Hayden Whitehead back, that's a very experienced punter that I think is very solid. You might like, you know, a bit more consistency out of him, but I think White, you know, you're getting a solid punter there. You know what you're getting. Plenty of experience for him. And then Charles Campbell flashed last season, certainly the huge kick against Purdue that he had. Definitely has the leg and the talent. Can't stress enough how important it is to have a good place kicker as well. So that's something we, you know, we'll see. What we don't know is how Indiana's going to handle returns. Unless I've missed something, it has not been announced who's going to be the opening kickoff returner, or who's going to be the punt returner. Indiana has a lot of options, but I think it's really time that they get something out of those return units, which far too often the past few years has just been completely ineffective as a return unit. Coverage was good last year, so you want to see that continue, but the return units have got to give Indiana something to improve starting field position. Those hidden yards can be a huge, huge factor in games.
Yeah, and right now, Indiana's depth chart just came out a few minutes ago before the show, TJ. They have Reese Taylor or Watt-Hillier listed at punt returner. I think it's going to be Reese Taylor. You have David Ellis listed as the number one kick returner with Irod Lloyd behind him. And, then you have, IU uses a kickoff specialist as well. And Jared Smoller was really good last year.
Yeah.
But the year before, he started off really well and then kind of faded down the stretch in the last half of the season. Part of that was due to weather, and part of that is leg fatigue. And so you have Chris Freeman behind him, who's a freshman. He's listed as a five-star kicker by Kohl's Kicking Services, who also listed Charles Campbell as a five-star kicker. So you've got some depth there. You saw Nate Snyder go to Louisiana. He made a big kick this year for the Raging Cajuns down there. But you look at that, that's, Snyder only had like a 35% touchback rate. And he had, I believe, three kicks out of bounds. And those are the mistakes you want to kind of get rid of, are those kicks out of bounds, especially after scores. It gives the momentum back to the other team. It seems, I don't have the statistic on it, but it seems that every time a kick goes out of bounds, the other team comes back and scores a touchdown. And that's in any game, not just IU games. So, Hayden Whitehead, I think the knock on him is he's had two punts blocked in his career. And now he's punted a lot. He holds the all-time IU record for most punts in the season with 85. But those punts came in situations where you can't have a punt blocked. It was against Maryland in 2017 that allowed them back in the game with they returned it for a touchdown. And then against Ohio State, now it might have not have made a difference, but it went for a safety. But it was still early in the game when IU may have had a chance to make that a game. And Chris Olave blocked it, nearly recovered it in the end zone before it bounced out of bounds. But he's got to stay away from that critical error. Other than that, he's been outstanding. He's had a whole bunch of kicks over 50 yards. He makes people fair catches, catch kicks. There hasn't been a real big punt return in a long time. Knock on wood. And I think, he came in as kind of as one of those guys who could kick with both legs. And we haven't seen that yet. And I think maybe this year you see him punt. He usually punts with his left foot. Maybe this is the year we see him punt with his right foot. And then you have Sean Ratcher at long snapper. I think you need to have Reese Taylor, punt returner, and David Ellis has got something on kick return. You've got to sometimes jumpstart this offense. And if you could give them that extra 15, 20 yards, you know, maybe out to 40 or 45, and you turn punts into field goals, field goals into touchdowns that way, you make it a little bit easier on your offense, and you control field position. So I think David Ellis is a key on special teams. Any final thoughts on special teams before we get into fully on to Penn State?
I agree with you, Reese Taylor. I love Rob Fillier. I don't want him on punt return for two reasons. First is going to be the injury risk. Second is just going to be the decision-making there. And David Ellis, I think he's the guy to give the first shot to a kick returner. So if that's what it ends up being, we'll see how it plays out starting Saturday. But it's a unit that overall needs to clean up those things that they messed up on last season. And at the very least, you know, not hinder Indiana's chances in contests. So let's move on to Penn State, though. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Let's get cracking.
Yeah, Penn State's coming in. They're ranked number 9 in the country in, I believe, both polls. 9 and 7 in the respective polls. IU receiving votes in both polls. Game kicks off at 3:30. It's on Fox Sports 1. So this is a big game for Indiana. And we've seen in openers this year, TJ, that teams, there are a lot of upsets. Indiana comes in, I think they opened up at a seven-point underdog. It went down to 6.5. There could be some news about Journey Brown being out, which haven't been concerned. And for those who don't know, Journey Brown is Penn State starting running back. This is a big-time opportunity for IU, and I think several things work in their favor. One, IU, and I mean this with best intentions, IU's used to playing in an empty stadium. They're used to having limited crowds. They know how to bring their own juice and get, riled up and all those things on their own. Penn State's not. They're used to playing in front of 108 crazy people, 108,000, not 100. They might play in front of 108 people this week, but 108,000 people in Happy Valley and all those things. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams come out. I think IU could bring their own juice a little bit, but it's an opener, and we've seen some funky things happen in these openers. What are your initial thoughts on this game?
Well, my initial thought, you talk about an actual game, as far as Penn State's concerned, look, we have to be honest and upfront about this. We don't really know. Indiana's coaches, are projecting confidence. It certainly does seem like they like their team. They worked that these guys have put in, the focus they put into the offseason. But, we've seen in football that hopes were high, and they just have not been ready. Not been the team thought they were going to be. That happened this year. You just don't know what you're going to get. So we'll start out. We think a pretty good quarterback, not a great one for Penn State. He's back for the Nittany Lions. They should have a pretty good offensive line. Journey Brown, his status for Saturday is up in the air. If he does play, a terrific running back. He went for over 100 yards last season against Indiana. Certainly has that, hopes of being an All-American for this season, or at the very least an All-Big Ten back. If he can't go, you're looking at Devin Ford and Noah Kane splitting the reps. they'll be in the rotation regardless. Two very good players as well. So far, they've not shown that game-breaking ability that Journey Brown has. So that's something to keep an eye out on this week as we progress to see if any indication on Journey Brown's status is out there. You know, Penn State, they lost Pat Freiermuth. However, he opted back in. It's a huge, huge boon for them to get him back. He's one of the best tight ends in the country. And it's going to be a real problem for Indiana's defense for sure. excuse me. I think you're looking at Pat Freiermuth. He's a really good all-around tight end. He's not quite the deep threat that, say, a Kyle Pitts for Florida is. However, you know, very good all-around tight end. Indiana's going to have to figure out, you know, how are they going to cover him? Is it going to be a linebacker like a Cam Jones perhaps? Or is it going to be maybe that Husky where, you know, is Indiana's new Husky? Brian Fitzgerald, is he big enough to cover a Pat Freiermuth? Don't know. That's going to be an interesting thing to scheme up. On the other side of the ball, Penn State, obviously, traditionally a very good defense under Coach Franklin. I am anticipating that their run defense takes a step back. It'll still be really good, but they were elite in run defense last year, and IU's running game really struggled. I think their pass defense should improve a little bit. It was not very good last year. Peyton Ramsey really shredded them. One of his best games as a Indiana quarterback. But I do still think there's going to be some opportunities for IU's passing game to make some hay. The biggest concern in that passing game is going to be blocking their defensive ends, who I think both of them are going to be pretty good all Big Ten type players. So certainly it's a huge challenge, but look, Indiana's played with Penn State the past two seasons and really should have beaten them last year in Happy Valley.
Yeah. The last two years, IU probably really should have beaten Penn State. Both games were within a touchdown. You know, the special teams got them in 2018. Last year is just a whole mix of things. It was – they couldn't stop them on that last – in the fourth quarter on that eight-minute drive. They just ran out of time. And then you had some – you gave them a couple touchdowns. The muff punt, there was a penalty on the third down that led to a touchdown later in the drive. And then you had the failed fake punt, which they scored a couple plays afterwards. So, you know, that's 14 points on the board right there that you're giving them. And for Indiana to get over the hump of these top 10, you know, losing to these top 10 teams, you can't make mistakes like that. You have to play a clean game. You have to, you know, play your A game. And you also kind of have to get lucky, because if Penn State comes out and plays their A game, IU could play their A game and they might still lose by, you know, 7 to 10 points. It's like every time you go up against Ohio State, if Ohio State is playing their A game, you have no shot. You got to hope that they bring their B or C game and IU plays their A game and things like that. So that's going to be something interesting to look at. Before we get keys to the game, TJ, let's hear again from our friends over at Bet Online. The wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is back in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. The MLB playoffs are in full swing with the World Series starting tomorrow night. You might not be at a game this year, but you could still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you could get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head over to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. So, TJ, we touched on some keys to the game. We'll get to some main keys. What is your main key for the game for Indiana to to come out with the victory?
I mean, you could point to so many things, but as I go back and think about, you know, all the football that we've watched so far this season, Indiana needs to be the more prepared team. And preparation comes in a lot of forms in terms of game plan, in terms of your offensive scheme, your defensive scheme. But for me, I think the most important thing that we've seen so far, Indiana needs to be the more ready to play team. And, you know, I don't think it's any shock that not playing in front of fans or, you know, having a season get kind of stopped and started as many times as this one has been, has had an impact on some teams' mentality. It's not surprising at all, and it certainly has been the case. IU has to come ready to play from the get-go, be the team that is more energetic, more fired up, more mentally engaged in the contest, and you'll see that with penalties. You'll see that with, you know, taking care of the ball, executing on offense and defense. It's, I think, just boils down to Indiana's got to be the more prepared team on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I also think they have to be the team that executes better. And that means tackling. We've seen so many issues with tackling special teams. Yeah. Where, you know, maybe you're in the right position, but you don't have that physicality. We have not seen practice. It's a question I ask Alan and the coaches all the time. It sounded like in scrimmage one, they were happy with the tackling, only four yep. tackles in that scrimmage. And then, you know, it became a little bit of a concern later in fall, but guys are fatigued of camp and ready to hit somebody else. So I think it's execution. And you could be as prepared as you want, but until you see that other team line up across from you and get that first tackle in, all the preparation might not matter. But we've seen it before, TJ. Those first 5-6 minutes, the first drive for each team, if Indiana could get out of those first two drives clean, they're going to be right in it. They got to survive. I'm not even going to say survive anymore. They got to thrive in those first 5 minutes in order to pull off this victory. And whether that means come out and score early or make a big play on defense or get a big play on special teams, but don't come out, force a three and out, muff a punt, and have Penn State go down and score a touchdown the next drive. Or, you know, don't have you saw a couple years ago down at FIU on the first drive, Peyton Ramsey throws a pick. You know, Ohio State last year, yeah, they missed the field goal, but they marched right down the field. There are a lot of instances where, you know, you need to – get that. Indiana's been in position to get that three and out, get the ball back, get good field position, and get a lead early instead of keeping it close and battling and then falling behind late in the game. You know that these top 10 teams are going to make a push late in the game. You got to jump ahead early and set the tone. So that's my key to the game. Thrive in the first 5 minutes and execute are my two keys. What's your matchup to watch, TJ?
I'm going to go now. If Journey Brown were playing, perhaps this is a little bit different, but I'm going to go with Indiana's defense, however they choose to line up and scheme against Pat Freiermuth. Penn State's wide receiving core, they lost KJ Hamler, so they're really going to be looking for who's going to step up for them at wide receiver. It's kind of a work in progress. Jahan Dotson's likely going to be their number one, kind of the best of the group. But, you know, he might start out in the slot. They definitely don't have any necessarily answers going into the game. I think they've got a lot of potential there at that group, a lot of talent, as you would expect. But no real guys that you can just pencil in as being guys that they can rely on. Those will develop over time, but IU's getting them right at the start of the season. And the one constant that they know they can go to is Pat Freiermuth. Yeah. So I think the Hoosiers have to find a way to take that away, or at least minimize the damage that Freiermuth does. You can't shut him down completely, but minimize the impact plays that he has and make Clifford go to somebody else and find other guys to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, and Freiermuth had a touchdown last year. He's an NFL guy. That's a real good matchup to watch. I'm going to take Indiana's offensive front against Penn State's front seven. Yep. And it's kind of twofold. It's, can they protect Michael Penix enough for him to let the ball go and hit these wide receivers? Indiana, I'm kind of hesitant to give them an advantage in the passing game in terms of wide receivers, but they're loaded at wide receiver. And you've got Wop, who's playing with a chip on his shoulder from last year. Ty Freifogel had a big game against Penn State last year. Javon Swinton is having a heck of a fall camp and is turning heads. You got Miles Marshall. You've got a lot of weapons to use. And then you have the tight ends with Peyton Hendershot. Does Indiana have to use that second tight end to come and block? Can they stop the pass rush? And then in the running game, you know, in the Big Ten, you have to be able to run the ball and pick up those first downs and set up second and third and manageable so that you can take shots downfield and not have to rely on a huge pass play. I don't think Stevie Scott's going to go off for 300 yards on 20 carries or anything like that. But can they get that push to where he's getting, you know, 3.5, 4, 5 yards per carry when you need it? When you need that first down late in the game to seal it. You've seen it time and time again where Indiana has to punt with two minutes, 3 minutes left in the game, and the other team comes down and scores, and it's heartbreaking all over again. But, you know, you got to be able to run the ball. You have Samson James there too. You brought in some tight ends and some graduate transfer linemen. You've got a solid starting five along that line. And then if you could throw in a Cam Taylor at a blocking tight end, Matt Bjorson at blocking tight end. You have a solid six lineman group there. And then you could run the ball and give Penix time to pass the ball. As long as Penn State has to use more than four people on the front line to get a pass rush, I think Indiana is going to be pretty good. But that's my matchup to watch, is how Indiana's offensive line holds up against Penn State's defensive line, because it's fallen apart in the past, and it's no knock on a line to fall apart against Penn State, but you got to give your quarterback time, and you got to get those hard yards. I mean, I think it's a victory if Stevie Scott goes for, you know, gets 25 carries and gets 100 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably means IU wins. Yeah, in some shape or form. So let's move to predictions, TJ.
We're going blind for sure, but in a kind of a off season in a time that things have been difficult to say the least, I have kind of held out my hope and optimism, and I continue to believe that Indiana is going to have a really good season. I know they've got a difficult schedule ahead of them, and I do really like the potential that this team has if they can stay healthy. So many dangerous skill guys that I'm looking forward to seeing how Nick Sheridan will utilize players like a David Ellis. You know, are we going to see multiple backs on the field at the same time? Just so excited for this contest. However, I do have to point to the historical context that Penn State's 22-1 against the Hoosiers all time. And the one win for Indiana came against really the major rebuilding team that Penn State had following the Jerry Sandusky scandal and the program's probation. That downturn for them didn't last near as long as many thought that it would. But that year in 2013 was a bad Penn State team, and that's IU's only win in program history. So I've got my heart kind of going against that historical context, but I think it's a great situation for IU. And I think Indiana's offense is going to have a real nice day, get a couple of those key plays that have gone against Indiana in the past. I just love what Tom Allen's doing with the program. I'm taking the Hoosiers to win this one, 31-27. Indiana wins, 31-27.
Well, we think alike, TJ, because I had 31-27 as well.
Except, oh, boy.
Except I had Penn State winning.
Okay, good. Now, if we were in agreement, then I think Indiana would have been in big trouble.
Then you take all your money that you were going to bet and you shove it under your mattress.
Absolutely. Do not bet on this game. Do not do it.
No, I think the only thing you could predict here is unpredictability. I think it's going to be a shootout in terms of you're going to see tackles. You're going to see misplays. You're going to see drops. You're going to see all – neither one of these teams has played since January. And I think you're going to see a little bit of rust. It'll be close. I think it'll be a close game. IU should cover the spread, but I think Penn State's a lot better than people realize, and they're going to come out, especially with Ohio. I think they play Ohio State next.
Yep.
With Ohio State on deck, they're going to come out and be a little bit more focused. I don't think they look ahead to next week. It's also an opener. So I don't think that whole, oh, they're looking forward to Ohio State is going to matter either. But I just think until IU gets over the hump, it's tough to trust them in this spot. I think they're ready to do it. Can they do it? Sure. I mean, it's 31-27. That means a play or two has to go their way. But like I said in the keys to the game, they got to come out and win those first two drives. You got to make a stop on defense and score on offense, and then you're in the ball game. You can't come out and look like you have a stop, fumble, and things like that. But it's going to be a good game. Fans should tune in. It's a shame that it's still COVID's going crazy and we can't be there. But I'm excited. It'll be exciting to watch. And we might even do a virtual watch party, TJ, if we could get it working right on Hot Mic. It's an app that syncs up your TV audio with Zoom. It's like Zoom, but it syncs up your TV audio so there's no spoilers and things like that. And if you sign up and use the code Hoosier Huddle with no space, that's our referral code for that. It's a free app. And we're going to try it out on Saturday. If it works, it'll be great. If it doesn't, we'll all watch on TV and text and tweet each other as well. So that's my prediction, TJ. You're taking Indiana 31-27. I'm taking the inverse of Penn State 31-27. I hope I'm wrong. And we'll see. Any final thoughts on this game?
I make that prediction. Anybody that has any confidence in what's going to happen on Saturday is going in blind, just like everybody else. I don't think the coaches really would have a good feel on how things are going to play out either. It's going to be a. I think we're going to learn a lot about Indiana, but. Regardless of the outcome, it is important to remember a lot's going to change between week one and week two, for good or for bad. So whatever happens Saturday, you know, a season does not one game make. You know, but also it's a big one on Saturday, and a nice opportunity for Indiana on a national television stage to make a statement about where this program's at. I do think that there's a decent level of respect as judged by the point spread. So, you know, hopefully Indiana can show up and, you know, cash in and all this.
Yeah, they got to show up and cash in at some point too. Exactly. Yep. They're receiving votes. A win likely puts you in to the in or close to the top 25. You get Rutgers the following week, a really good chance. 2-0. Before, who do they play next afterwards? Michigan. They're going into Michigan, and Michigan State. And it's, you know, we'll see. It'll be a good test. The weather was decent for late October, but it's probably the worst Saturday we've had in a long time at 55 degrees with a 40% chance of rain. So we'll see.
Of course.
I think anything could happen in these openers, especially in 2020. We've seen crazy things happen. So we'll see. TJ, thanks for joining us. And have a great evening. Enjoy game week. And we'll talk on next Monday.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for sticking with us all off season. It's game time now. And much like Indiana, all we can all do is take it one week at a time, one game at a time, and see what happens.
Yeah, we are very, very happy to table our, you know, top 20 third string long snappers in the Big Ten of all time. It's good to be back on game,
yeah,
and talking about those,
yeah, things.
So come back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have all your news leading up to the game, including our keys to the game, matchups to watch, keys on offense, keys on defense, and know your opponent, you know, a piece on Penn State. And then TJ will have your game day primer as well on Friday, ready to go for everything else. So you can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And before we get out of here, we have one more word from our sponsors over at Manscaped. Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as everything else. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Anyway, that does it for this evening for the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed your time with us. And we're getting ready for Penn State. Again, if you wanted to watch a watch party with us, we'll try and have that up on Hot Mic. Download the app. It's pretty cool. Try it out with games this week. It's hotmic.io. It's on in the App Store as well. Use referral code Hoosier Huddle when they ask you how to sign up and things like that. And hopefully we can all watch our Hoosiers together on Saturdays this season. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of the week. And Saturday, Indiana, Penn State at Memorial Stadium, 3:30 on Fox Sports 1 and around the country on your radio networks.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.